Father, thank you.
One of my favorite songs is Beyond Me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, you beyond me.
Hallelujah. Beloved, God bless, God bless, God bless all of you mightily. Wow, God bless all of you mightily. I'm greatly humbled to have all of you around. Wow, I can see Prophet G. A. Bedu. God bless you, sir. Pastor Emmanuel Bwedibwate, man of God, God bless you. Sister Ophelia, God bless you. Mrs. ABC, God bless you. Prophet George, God bless you. Wow, Prophet with fire, God bless you, sir. God bless you. Sister Lily and Brother Paul, God bless both of you mightily. Felicia, God bless you. Bernard, man of God, God bless you. I celebrate graces. Hallelujah. Beloved, tonight is the first night. We don't have much time. Yeah, tonight is the first night of our supernatural enlightenment conference. Hallelujah. Hey, Prophet Samuel, God bless you. God bless you, D4. Yeah, God bless you, Prophet Samuel. Samuel Boche. Amen. Yes, tonight is our first night, and I can already sense the move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We are opening. I want you to open your mouth. Just open your mouth and begin to bless the name of God. Please open your mouth. Begin to bless the name of God. Begin. The first speaker will take over very soon. Yes, he will take over very soon. I want you to open your mouth. Just begin to bless the name of God. Moko sakada ba sandala baba shanda rabada bakabada baba. Oh, shandale bazendele shahadia. Gazanda ragada baba baradi shalagalagadai. Salandra kira valadi shalemelegadaya. Indeed, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords, Jesus. Somebody open your mouth. Just bless the name of God. Yana mazanda ragata baba 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 baba. Regedele kabala baba zanda lahambra hira. Alima sunele mo shakada yava. Elekene vredele gedele gadie. Esbranda le shanda bahaliasa. Nozele kenele mrendele kanda la diezo. Ozediva lita le shabala gadai. I want you to bless the name of God. Bless the name of God. Bless the name of God. Yanda zunda la bakumbia talabahada. Wazadika levre de melegadish. Esprikele tenemelegada. Isale menekenemredisha. Esendulda ipahadie. Elie shehaliada. Rededededadei. Endelekemene granda radadadadadadadein. Davale deliva lagada lagada. Espalita legate brande legadia. Zulanda rada da da da. Ente le frende le macamba ragadai. Espia telemadush alegadia. Ezelin de vela zuranda ibalanda. Espranda sumbelekia. Ayifama lukalia. Espradishanda ragada. Ayada macomba lagadie. Espalita lei masunda kenefrada balagadai endeleshanda baganda raita breketele barada shakalei esprita lei masundalava inenya ayeketele gatale kambaragada. Bless the name of God. Bless the name of God. I want you to thank God for his presence with us tonight. I want you to thank God for his presence with us tonight. Hey, Mashanda Rakadabaye. Hey, zuta zuni kelena elina avrianda esprendeye espradeno shananeri zananei elekenezata dia esunderakada baba ei madosh empali zaranda espala aknaya tai estola bale espale telende lekenevama ke zatana nanana diesatei Iye yande izuka latala gadabra gadaya. Thank him for the presence tonight. Ilima sunde leshakaya espaladish alegrandaya. Then I want you to also pray, and you are asking God for the spirit of understanding. You are asking God for the spirit of understanding, and you are saying that, Father, give me the grace to pay attention to your word. Give me the grace to pay attention to your word tonight. Give me the grace to receive from you. Masute nebos kahadaya. Aliza tunda la mamaha. Yada bakadama alinda dinda dumba ayavandu katundele ile zuhamba inekuta halia eliesendele gade ezokotola gotoya rende shanda lagada ayanda panda lagaduzelia ezendelemba elieta kumbi ilanda wahadi waladei zukandala espalatela Esprit attenda la baba ko masotaya esprus keniante ezeledede ezekumba lagada ayedevada 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 in develeto selei elegede degada elembranda zanda la mama ko da zanda lim elient elembakum hayavan iland akud ateizulanda alimba Kambi ilan ilend ayanda din kenanda zandalim ilei zukanda alei shahadis eleskabayande andilavanda keyande izanda kum halimba atianda izilanda havalan yei shahadis esprinde kema mazu salina ivelendelesha makabamba raian. In the name of Jesus, Mukada wazandala, Zelikaiba teila imana, Kondu sambaya, Ilei makua, Afradisha baya. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Beloved, I believe tonight is going to be another night of total transfiguration. A night of an encounter. Hallelujah. Man of God, please, you can call in. You can call in, man of God. Pastor Emmanuel, please, you can call in. Yes, thank you. Shakarabasandaya. Hallelujah. I believe that many of you know Pastor Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Now, he has been a great friend, a great brother, and he is somebody that I learned a lot from. Now, you see, whenever I have an encounter with him, let me share this. Whenever I have an encounter with him, the kind of mysteries he shares with me, the revelations, I'm like, oh boy, this man is loaded. Hallelujah. He's also a colleague teacher of mine in Atifa Senior High Secondary School, and he is a man of the spirit. Hallelujah. He is a man of the spirit. For some time now, almost every supernatural enlightenment conference, he is always on board, because I know what God has placed in this man. Hallelujah. Beloved, I just want you to open up your spirit tonight. For me, I am ready to receive of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. I am ready to receive of the Lord tonight. And in the same way, I want you to be very ready to receive of Him. So, with a round of applause, as we put in some emojis, I want us all to welcome the man of God. Hallelujah. The man of God. He is a teacher of the word, and he is a man of the spirit. He is a man who knows the Holy Spirit. Let's welcome him. Pastor Emmanuel Buedi Boateng. Man of God, I am greatly humbled. Please, you can take over. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Great apostle. Thank you so much. I believe I can be heard, please. Please give me a fire emoji if I can be. Okay. Thank you very much. So I want to acknowledge the presence of the Spirit of God in our midst, because the Bible says where two or three are gathered in His name, He never gave any specific of the gathering. So every gathering is gathering, and immediately we gather in His name. The Bible says that He is there in our midst. So we believe that God is in our midst. So I want to acknowledge the presence of Jesus, and I want to say that we salute you, Father. We salute you, our Lord. We salute you, our God. We salute you, our Savior. We salute you, our life, in the name of Jesus. I want to acknowledge also my very, very good Papa Apostle Justice. I call him the Apostle General. Yes, Apostle General. Salutation be unto you. I greet you with all the greetings from heaven. And I greet everyone who is here with us. Maybe I might not be able to mention everybody's name here, but I know that so far as you are here, you are well acknowledged. God bless you so much for your time. God bless you for your credit you are spending. And we believe that as you are making time for God, it is an investment in life. And I want to thank Apostle once again, Justice, for such a great opportunity. I mean, I deem it as a great honor, yes, to be called to put on a program like this. God bless each and everyone in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share a simple word of prayer with you as we begin. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you that you testify of the word and you testify of Jesus. Because Jesus said, another will come who will bear a greater witness than what John did. And he says the Spirit will testify. Anytime we gather in the name of Jesus, you come to testify of Jesus. We pray that testify of Jesus with your healing. Testify of Jesus with your revelation. Testify of Jesus with your upliftment, with your revival. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. With all thanksgiving. God bless each and everyone. Wow. The theme for today. The theme for our supernatural enlightenment conference is the higher life. I remember the very day Apostle Justice called me and said that, you know, there is an upcoming program and you are on board. I was like, whoa. And he told me that, you know, the theme for our supernatural conference this time is the higher life. And I was like, wow, the higher life, the higher life. God bless you so much, Apostle, for you being led by the Spirit of God for this great opportunity. Beloved, I want to go straight. I want us to start in the name of Jesus. We are starting in the name of Jesus. I want to say that, wow, I can see my my papa in the house. Wow, Apostle, I call him my prophet, Prophet Ernest Buchi. I salute Grace. I salute Grace. A, B, C, I salute Grace. Isaac Dankwa, I salute Grace. Everyone I see, Georgia, I salute Grace. Prophet Sami, and everybody, I salute everybody's grace on this particular platform. Glory be to God in the name of Jesus. Now, let me start by saying that, do we know why the devil hates us so much? Do we know why the devil hates us so much? In fact, if there is any person the devil hates in this world, and the devil doesn't like in this world, it is nobody than you. It is nobody than you. That is why the devil will go to the extent that he will do whatever it takes in order to destroy a Christian. Why is it so? It is because of the theme for today. That is why the devil hates you so much. The higher life that you have in God. That is why the devil would never sleep day or night, but would come after Christians, would row against Christians, would chase Christians, would set traps for Christians in order to get them. Why? It is because of this thing. Now, when you read the book of Isaiah, when you read the book of Isaiah chapter number 14, when you read the book of Isaiah chapter number 14, and I want to read something that the devil said in his heart. And I read the verse 13. He said that, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Look, this is my introduction to the team. The reason why the devil hates you so much is that everything the devil said in his heart, reading from Genesis chapter, reading from Isaiah chapter number 14, verse 13, everything he said in his heart, that first of all, one, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Every desire that the enemy desired of God, God has already given you that. In other words, you are everything the devil wanted to be, and you have everything the devil ever wanted. Why? He said, "I will ascend into heaven." Where are you seated now? You are seated in Christ Jesus, above all principalities, above all powers, above all dominion, and we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. So where the devil wanted to ascend to, in order to sit, in order to share the glory with God, the Bible says that we of the higher life, we have that particular position, that our position is that we have ascended above the heavens and we are seated in Christ Jesus. And that was the position the devil had wanted to attain of God, and he never had that opportunity to attain that ascension. But you and I, through the higher life of God, through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has placed us in that position. He says, "I will be like the Most High God." In other words, the devil doesn't have the nature of God. But you see, when you become born again, when you come into Christ and you become a new creation, you carry the very nature of God. You carry the very life of God. And so you are exactly as God is. No wonder the psalmist says that ye are gods. You are the children of the Most High. Because in the Bible, in creation, I believe in Genesis. When you read the book of Genesis, the Bible says that, "And God said that let us create man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." So you are created in the image and in the likeness of God. That means when God is there and you also stand there, the difference between you and God is the fact that you are living in the flesh. You are a spirit being who has a soul, and you are living in the flesh, and you have not attained the full stature of Christ. But meanwhile, you have a life that is of God, and you carry the very nature of God. That is why I start by saying that the reason why the devil hates you so much, the reason why the devil is really after you, the reason why the devil wouldn't rest day nor night, is the fact that whatever he purposed in his heart in Isaiah 14 verse 13 to 14, I will ascend, I will sit on the mountain, I will be like the Most High God. God has given you everything that the devil wanted to be. Hallelujah. The higher life. I want to begin. Let's begin. Higher life. That was our introduction. The higher life. The higher life. Now, my main text is going to be on John chapter number 5, verse 26. And then John chapter number 10, verse the 10b. And I read John chapter number 5, verse 26. He says, "For as the Father had life in himself, so had he given to the Son to have life in himself." Now, I want us to look at the word life. "For as the Father had life in himself, so had he given to the Son to have life in himself." Now, the reason why I selected this text is that God the Father, a spirit, because the Bible says in the book of John 8, he says that "For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit." So God the Father is spirit. But Jesus, who is a spirit being and became flesh, lived as man lived. He walked on the surface of the earth as man. So if he says that he came with a life, and that life was from the Father, and just as the Father had life in himself, so has the Son also life in himself. That means that if the Father has been able to give life to Jesus, who came in the form of human, then it means that that life is also possible for humans to live that life. That is my first establishment. Two, in John chapter number 10, verse 10b, he says, the thief, I'm reading the B part, he says, "That I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, the purpose Jesus brought, gave us the purpose for which he came. Jesus gave us the purpose for which he came, to live as man and as God on earth. He says, "My purpose, the reason for which I came on this earth, is that you might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Not just giving you life, but giving you a life that is more abundantly. And what is this life that Jesus said he's giving to us? Remember, Jesus' purpose, he didn't say, "I came to establish a religion." He didn't say, "I came to establish, you know, anything outside." But the purpose of coming is that men would receive a life that is from the Father, and that the Father has given unto the Son, and that the Son can also give unto any being that comes to believe in him. Now, what is this life that we are talking about? Now, when you read the New Testament, when you read the New Testament, there are three kinds of life in the New Testament. Now, you see, the Greek translation of, you know, the Word of God into English, you know, sometimes lack the expression, you know, exact word to be used for. For example, when you read the Bible and you come across the word love, 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 the love we see differs from each other. For example, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world." Now, that love, and other ones, just like when Jesus met Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me?" That kind of love that is demonstrated, and the other kind of love, which is also used, does not connote the same meaning, because the English, you know, translation sometimes lack the expression. So when you come across life in the New Testament, it is prudent for you to check the Greek word and know the kind of life that is used in that particular context. So today, I want us to look at the fact that in the New Testament, there are three kinds of life. We have one, the bios life, B-I-O-S, the bios life. Now, we also have what we call the soke, P-S-U-C-H-E. That is the Greek word. And then we have the last one, which is the zoe, Z-O-E. That is zoe. So these three kinds of life in the Bible is stated as life, 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 life. But when you read the Greek context, then you would understand that all these lives are not the same. Now let's start by looking at what this life is. Today our theme is the higher life. Now, if we have higher life, then it means that we have other lives that are not high as the higher life. I just wanted to call that the highest life. I just wanted to call that the highest life. Because if we have three kinds of life, then we will have a life which is high and a life which is also higher. But when these two lives are put together, the other two lives which are put together, when I'll begin to digest that, when we put them together, then it means they are just life, but the Zoe becomes what? A higher life of the two. Glory be to God. Now let's look at the word bios, bios, B-I-O-S, bios. Now this life in Greek word means the life of the physical body. It is a period or a course of life. It is a life that is sustained by resources. It is a life that is sustained by goods. It is a life that is sustained by wealth. That means that when God created man and man became a living soul, there is that kind of breath that was breathed into man. And man had what we call life in his body. And this life in his body is what has been studied by science. And most of it is known by science. And that is why you see, when you read other texts very well, they will tell you that the bios life comes from, is where the word biology is derived, because biology deals with you studying the living nature or the living things, and then the what do we call it, the makeup of those living things, whether it is a micro kind of living thing or macro, whether it is a human kind of life or it is a plant kind of life. So this bios life is the life of the physical body. It means that just as we are, our physical body holds a kind of life, and that is why we have these organs functioning. That is why we have all the cells in our body functioning. That is why we have all the tissues in our body functioning. That is the kind of life that we have in the New Testament. And this bios life has a period. This bios life has a period, or it is a course of life. That means it has a period where this particular life comes to an end. And this life, again, is sustained by resources. It is sustained by goods. It is sustained by wealth. That is why you and I, each and every time, we would eat in order to live this particular kind of life. And that is what we call the bios life. Now, when you read the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, verse 4, he makes mention of a phrase that with the affairs of this life, with the affairs of this life, and that word life there is the Greek word bios, and that word bios here means that it is a life that is dependent on the affairs of life. That means the life of the physical, the life that we live, just as we wake up in the morning, we brush our teeth, we go up and down and all that, the daily kind of life, that life is coming from what we call the bios. And so when you read 2 Timothy, just as it has been posted, that no man that warranted entangled himself with the affairs of this life. So when you check that Greek word life, it is what the bios, and you see that bios life is attached to what affairs of life. That means our daily dealings, and then coming from what? From the human physical body. Now, when you take the book, when you take the book of Luke, chapter number 8, verse 14, and I read, he says that A part of it, he says, and these are the people who hear the word of God, you see, and they are choked with the curses and the riches and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So it means that another kind of section of life has to do with the pleasures, the daily curse of life, that I need to live, that I need to eat, I need to survive, and all that. But the fact is that my question is this the kind of life that God wants us to live? Is this the kind of life that our life should depend on the physical nature of things, on the resources or on wealth or on goods in order for us to survive and live this life? Is that the life that God wants for us? The answer is no. Now, I want us to look at something, what Jesus said about this life. Now, today, before I move into the higher life, we want to look at all the other lives. That means that if all the other lives are not those lives that we should live, and they are not that life that man should depend on, that is the reason why Jesus brought us a different kind of life. Because those lives were limited, and those lives would limit man. Now let's read something from the book of Luke, chapter number 12, verse 15 to 21. Luke chapter number 12, verse 15 to 21. And let's look at this life that is bios, if this is the kind of life God wants us to live, a life that is dependent on the physical body. It's all about science. Do this, do that. No wonder Paul would say that, you know, bodily, you know, exercise profited what? A little. It profited a little. That means that it is not the key. It is not the key, but it has a little contribution to human. Now, let's read something from the book of Luke, chapter number 12, verse 15 to 21. And I read, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Kalubradushte, ikombrezenvenishta. A man's life is not consistent in the abundance of the things which he possesses. So Jesus wants to tell us straight ahead that this kind of life, which is dependent on the physical body and which is sustained by resources, which is sustained by possessions, which is sustained by goods, which is sustained by wealth, he said, your life is not consistent in the abundance of things. In other words, you don't live your life according to the possession of the things that you have. In other words, your life is not dependent on the possession of things. What does Jesus want to tell us right now? He says that, listen, you cannot live your life as a believer or have a sustained life from resources, from possessions, because this is a lower kind of life. And then the Bible says that what did he do? He gave a parable. And the parable was about a rich man, which I know all of you have heard about, a rich man who, you know, was rich and brought forth plentifulness. And then he thought of himself. Look at it. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my. You see, that kind of life eliminates God. That kind of life does not give room to God, but that kind of life depends so much on your physical body. That is why people would spend so much time building their physical bodies, eliminating God out of it. And what did God tell? That is why the man, look at the statement of the man, and you will see that kind of life. He thought to himself, saying, what shall I do? It is not about he consulting, what does God want for me? No, it is about what he wants for himself. So that life does not actually depend on the life of God, but rather depends on the resources, on the goods, and the abundance of things that men have. I believe we are getting what I'm trying to say. I'm doing a little teaching. I believe we are there, and I believe we are following. And the Bible says that What did God say? This is what I will do. I'll pull down and everything. He said that, and he was just thinking about himself. Why? Because his mind, his spirit, and everything was just occupied on the physical things, because he believed that his life is dependent. The life that he has to live has to be sustained by physical things. And that is what we call the bios life. But God said unto him, thou fool. It means that you become a fool when you live according to the bios life. Now, is it true that, you know, people live by this particular kind of life? Yes, some non-believers live by this kind of life. And it's so amazing that even when some Christians come to accept the Lord Jesus as their savior and they become new Christian, instead of they living on the higher life, which we shall look at it later on, they still think that they need to live on the bios life. These are the people who depend on their wealth, they depend on their property, and sometimes when their properties go, they put so much trust in their wealth, so much that there is no room they give to God. And so anytime the enemy strikes their properties, their wealth, where their source of life is coming from, some of them automatically can get a heart attack and then even die from the earth. It's amazing, and it's so sad that a being that God has created in his own image is getting his life and his dependency from the physical body and from the physical things that he or she sees or have around him. And it's dangerous. And that is why the enemy sometimes can strike and know that he can kill you at any point in time, because when he attacks what you have, he knows that you are down. Remember the story about the man who came to Jesus and said, you are a good master. And then he said, what can I do to inherit what eternal life? And Jesus, remember, Jesus told him that go and sell what you have and give to the poor. The Bible says that when this man heard of the news, he became very sad. He became troubled. Why? Because this man lay up treasure for himself, and he was not rich towards God. That is why, you know, the verse 21 says, so is he that lay up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. In other words, that everything just occupies you, and the only thing you live by is that you live only by the physical, you know, thing. Now, when Jesus came on earth, he told us and showed us a different dimension through which man could live. I remember the other day when the devil met him and said that if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus said that man, a being, a spirit being, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out from the mouth of God. That means that Jesus was telling Satan straight that our life is not consistent on the physical things that we see, but our life, a new generation man, a born again man is coming, where his life will not be consistent on bread alone, but he would live on every word, on every word. Why? Because Jesus said the other day that the words that I speak to you, they are of spirit and they are of life. The words that I speak to you, they are of spirit and they are of life. And because he knew that he was going to die and be raised again, that you and I will become born again and would become new creation, we will not just live on bread, but we will live on the word of God, because we are born out of the word and we are the product of God's prophecy of word. And so Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, man's life is not on the physical, but it goes beyond that. Hallelujah. And I want us to also note this, that you see, just as I was saying, some people live by this life. The story of the prodigal son. The story of the prodigal son shows to us that, you know, he was with the father and left the father. And he thought that his life was just going to depend on the abundance of resources and then the abundance of wealth that he had. So the Bible says that when he collected his portion of his inheritance, of his goods, he left afar off. So you see, he thought that his life was dependent on the kind of resources that he had, and that is what we call the bios life. So Jesus tells us tonight that as Christians, as people of God, as children of God, it will be a mistake for you to live according to the bios life. Hallelujah. A time has to come in our life. You see, it is true that we need that is why the Bible says, and when you read that particular verse, that is, you know, 21 down, that is where Jesus said that, you see, take note of what you're going to eat, take note of what you're going to wear. He started saying that, do not worry about what tomorrow is going to, do not worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, and all that, because he knows that yes, man will need all these things. But you see, when you live a kind of life that is higher than the bios life, there is a level that you reach that you know that your God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So you don't think about the material possessions any longer. But because you sought after God, and that is where God says that seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Immediately you begin to move in the higher realms of the kingdom of God, other things will begin to follow. One mistake we make is that sometimes we want to chase the things that should follow us in climbing high to the kingdom of God. Sometimes what we need is that we need to seek forth, go into deeper dimensions of life. And when we begin to go into deeper dimensions of life, things begin to follow. That is why Paul reaches a level and say, for my God shall supply all your needs. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches, look at the text very well. He didn't say according to the job you do, according to the salary you depend on, according to an uncle's income he sends to you, but he said according to God's own riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The question, how rich is God's riches of glory? How rich is God's riches of glory? If God decides to supply your need according to his riches, not according to your salary, not according to the job that you do. Glory be to God. A level of this needs to move higher, that we live above the bios life, the physical life, to the extent that we don't think of just about the physical. Our life does not depend on the physical things, but our life has to depend totally on God, where we will come to a level and side with Psalm 23, just as David said, and tells you, and you begin to tell yourself that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because God is my shepherd, he takes care of my physical needs. He takes care and makes sure that as a sheep does not worry. A sheep only is there being kept in the pen, and the shepherd has to make sure that that sheep is fed. And that is why he said he leads me beside the still waters and he will restore my soul. He leads me to the greener pastures of life and he leads me beside the still waters. Because as a sheep, the shepherd has a responsibility to take care of me as a sheep. Glory be to God. God, ki livra dosh, eliva sombranista, ki nibra askole vedesh, istobra haskir varush, in the name of Jesus. That is the bios life we are talking of. And Jesus said that a man's life is not consistent in the things that he possesses. It means that the bios life is a lower life, that man does not need to live according to that life. Glory be to God. The second kind of life is the psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E, and that is a life that I call that soulish life. I call that soulish life. It's a life based on the soul, and the soul is the seat of feelings, desire, and affections. It means that this is the time, now this kind of life, okay, transcends beyond the physical life, but has to touch on your soul. And you know, the soul is the seat of your feelings, your desire, your affections. And what do we mean by this life? This life is where you begin to live by your senses or the dictate of your senses. So there are some people whose life are dependent on their senses. Their lives are dependent on their feelings. Their lives are dependent on their desires. Their lives are dependent on their affections. And that's dangerous. Now, when you read Matthew chapter number 10, verse 39, Jesus made mention of this life. He said, he that finds his life shall lose it. If you find that kind of life, you lose it. Why? Because that kind of life is not the life that God wants us to live. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Now, look at the text very well. He says, he that findeth his life, you are the one doing it yourself. You shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Now, this suke life is when you begin to live according to the dictate of your senses. And it's so amazing that, Apostle, most Christians, you know, live by this particular life. I tell you. And it's amazing where the devil, you know, could lie to us that we're just about soul. And so we live according to our feelings. We live according to our desires. We live according to our affection. And that is the life most people live. Now, what is wrong with this life? Is this really the life God wants us to live? Let me tell you about this, the soulish kind of life. That is the soke. When you begin to depend on your senses, there is no way you can ever please God. You can never please God, and you can never align yourself with the word of God. Look, anytime you live according to this life, you don't even pray. In your prayer, you are moved by your feelings. You are moved by your desires, and you are not moved by the word of God. That is this life. You see, when you read the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, verse 7, Paul says something, that we walk by faith, not by sight. What is the meaning? It means that we walk not by sight. We walk not by our sensory perceptions. In other words, we walk not by the feelings and the desires of life. No, but we walk by faith. Now, this is the kind of life where it is difficult for you to align yourself with the word of God. Why? Because you try to live on your feelings, and you know that the word of God is not about feelings. These are the people, when sometimes they pray, they will tell you that I don't feel the presence of God. I don't feel God is here. I don't feel God today. And so immediately he begins to start praying, and he doesn't feel God. He doesn't pray. They are the people. They are moved entirely by their feelings. They are so. You see, when you read books on this suke kind of life, they will tell you that that is where psychology emerged from. You see, that psychology here deals with the mind, the soul. And, you know, psychology only looks at, you know, the conscious mind, right? They look at the conscious mind, and it is the soulish aspect they deal with, the senses. So these are the people who live according to the senses. Now, it is dangerous to live by this. I said that it is true that when you live in this kind of life, you cannot align yourself with God. And that is where sometimes you begin to feel that God has disappointed you. You begin to feel God is even a liar. You begin to feel that God is not God as he claims to be. And that is why you see they begin to reason from their mind, and they begin to challenge even the Bible, because in their mind and in their feelings and in their thinking, they cannot relate to God, because they are relating to God by feeling. But the Bible says that God is a spirit, and because they are relating with God in their sensory perceptions, in their flesh, they cannot actually relate spiritually with God. So they seem to have problem with God in their walk with God. Is somebody getting what I'm trying to say? Is somebody getting what I'm trying to say? Glory be to God. Give me a fire emoji if you are here with me. Give me a fire emoji if you are here with me. Give me a fire emoji if you are here with me. God bless you so much. God bless you so much. God bless you so much. Now, when you read the book of Joel, chapter number 3, verse 10b. This is where those who live in this, you know, this kind of life cannot move with God. And I want to say this. Now, when you read the book of Joel, chapter number 3, verse 10b, he says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. In other words, let the one who feels weak, he knows he's weak. He's gone to the hospital and they've told him that he's weak. And the word of God says that, look, we are not moved by feelings, but we are moved by the word. And he says that, let the weak say, I am strong. You see, they find it difficult to align with the word of God because they look at the way they feel. They look at the way their body sensories and organs are telling them. And so they cannot align to say that even when I feel weak, I am strong. They don't understand why when you visit the hospital and you are sick, you can still say that by his stripes, I am healed. They don't understand why you will say you are healed. I am not sick, but meanwhile, you are sick. These are the people in this realm. They live according to the dictate of their senses. They live according to their feelings. And so anytime the word of God comes, they find it difficult to even believe the word of God because it seems the word of God even acts in opposite to how they feel or even how they perceive things. These are the people when they begin to see that, you know, storms of life comes. And they are feeling the storms of life. And the word of God tells them that you can calm the storm of life. And the word of God tells them you can speak to the atmosphere. You can speak to this. And they're racing through their minds. And they're like, oh, what kind of thing are you saying? Now, Jesus spoke to the disciples about Lazarus. Jesus, you see, before the death of Jesus, Jesus could not give eternal life to his people. Eternal life came when, you know, he died and they accepted him when they became born again. Now, look at it. When Jesus walked with his disciples, there were times Jesus found it very difficult in communicating with his disciples. Why? Because they were living the soulish life. For example, Jesus Christ would tell them that Lazarus is asleep. Because the realm where Jesus is operating is not the same realm they were operating. So Jesus will tell them that, look, Lazarus is asleep. And they will be like, oh, if Lazarus is asleep, then we'll wake him up. Then Jesus has to come to their soulish language and tell them, Lazarus is dead. How glory be to God. You see, this is the kind of life, eh? When your son, you don't have anything and you know, nothing is working and you don't have, you know, what do we call it, money on you, and you tell yourself, I am rich. I remember one particular man of God, Jerry, the pastor at Nigeria. One day I watched his video and then he told me that, you know, her mom, they were not poor, they were not rich, they were poor, but, you know, every time his mother would look at him and say that, you are my king. He said that his mother bought him a stool, a small stool, and then he said that anytime the guy sits on the stool, he says that is the seat of the king. He saw that as a throne for the guy. And today, what the mom saw in the realm of the spirit, that is exactly what this man is manifesting today. In the name of Jesus, I pray that may God help us, that we will move away from depending on a life that is so much secure into the higher life that we are going to share today in the name of Jesus. Peter and other disciples, you see, that this is the kind of life that, you know, one time Jesus told his disciples and the other, you know, people who gathered, you know, in front of him. And then he said that, I am the bread of life. I am the bread from heaven. Whoever eats me and drink my blood, he shall live. And the people just looked at this man, I think in their minds they were thinking, why do you think we are vampires now? We need to eat your flesh and drink your blood. Why? Because they were thinking, they were moving according to their feelings, according to the dictate, and they could not understand the things of the spirit. Look, anytime your spirit cannot align with the word of God, you cannot align yourself to the word of God, then know that you are likely living that kind of feelings, that kind of desire, and you are gradually moving into the soulish life. It is my prayer in the name of Jesus that we will attain and walk. We already have the eternal life, but today we want to walk in the level, a realm of the eternal life, because Jesus said that it is not just about we receiving the eternal life, but we can receive it more abundantly. That means that there are realms of life in the eternal life. There are dimensions of the eternal life that we have, because people can receive it more abundantly, though it is one life, but higher realms in that particular life. So these are people who operate with God in the sense realm, and they cannot please God. They can't. The reason why they can't please God is that they cannot align themselves with God. And the Bible says in the book of Joel, it says, can two walk without they agreeing? In other words, if you want to walk with God, you need to agree with the word of God. That is why Jesus said that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that means that you need to abide, you need to fully align with the word of God so that you become one with the word of God. And then he says, everything you shall ask in my name, it shall be given unto you. Why? Because when you abide in Jesus and you abide in the word of God, you align and you become one with the word. So anytime you pray according to the will of the Father, because the Father honors his word. And we don't pray amiss. Glory be to God. So please, do we get the suke? That is the other kind of life. So it means that this kind of life, God does not want us to live this kind of life. In fact, this is the soulish life that the people had. And when you read, you see, when you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, it says that, you know, Adam was made what? A living soul. But Christ was what? A life-giving spirit. This is very deep. Today when I was meditating upon that, then it means that I am deceived by people telling me that, you know, we have been restored to the place of like Adam, where Adam lost. No. Because if Adam was a living soul and Christ is a life-giving spirit, the two are different. So if I'm coming from Christ, then that means I have a higher life more than what Adam had. Okay, this time I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. So let's stay in this, right? Okay. So I'm talking now. Let's look at the third kind of life that is seen in the text that Jesus brought. Now, I read a text to you in the book of John, chapter number 5, verse 26. For as the Father had life in himself, so had he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now, this life in the Greek word is the life zoe, z-o-e. Okay, sorry if I don't pronounce it well, because you know we are not Greek scholars, right, reading Greek, so maybe we might not pronounce it in the way that you might pronounce it. So this Greek word zoe, z-o-e, is the very life of God. Come on, I want you to pause a moment and reflect on this. And I want you to type, I have the very life of God in me. I want you to type with conviction that I have the very life of God in me. I have the very life of God in me. Glory be to God. God, this is the highest life. This is the higher life. This is the life that transcends beyond all life. This is the life that transcends beyond bios. It is a life that transcends beyond soke. This is the highest life that you can ever have. Who is great? Okay, now I want us to really, you know, this time let us understand what we have just typed, as the Spirit of God gives us understanding on this. Oh, glory, glory be to Jesus, glory be to God. Eko brado shelevida leprasu invende eko menevesh iskalu brahaskos kidivish elevrikitos ediva antombreheshke. What it means is that God, now of all the spirit beings, who is the greatest? Of all the spirit beings, who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? Okay. Now, I think maybe Colossians can give us this particular answer. Ito bragoste, pradiste, selevida, antos embranista, silo osto ibradoste. Now, I want us to look at the book of Colossians. He says, he is the image of the invisible God, talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things, underline the word, all things. For by him all things, I'm reading Colossians chapter number 1, verse 15, and verse 15 to, you know, 17. Verse 15 to 17. He says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, ikobradusha, all things, not some things, all things, I dare to say, all demons, I dare to say, all spirits, I dare to say, all principalities, I dare to say, all powers, they have their source and the reason for which they can operate and the reason for which they have not come to an end is the fact that Jesus still lives. Now, why am I not afraid to say all principalities, all powers? He says, whether they be thrones, talk about the thrones in the atmosphere, talk about the thrones that you know of, talk about the powers that be, talk about the powers in the sea, talk about the powers in the atmosphere, talk about the powers on the earth. The Bible says all things, not some things, including the devil, including Lucifer, including the agent, including principalities that you know. They are aware and they know. That is why the Bible says that the mention of that name, they know that he's the master of them. They know that they have their source from him. They know that they proceed out from him. They know that if Jesus chooses to cease, they will never have life again. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. If this truth, you know, goes down within us, then that should tell you that if Jesus places you inside of him and he gives you the very life that he has, then nothing by Sha'inimin Kadum Bradishta. That is why Jesus was bold, that when even you take him poison, Kinibra, he knows it is poison, he knows it is deadly. He says, you shall not die. He says, in my name you will cast out devils, because in the lordship of Jesus, Palu Ikredushta, they see Jesus as Lord, they see Jesus as captain, they see Jesus as captain, and they obey and salute his name, because the devil is aware that his source is from God. Now, I'm not afraid to say this, and because that is the truth. Now, remember, God never created the devil as devil. He created him as what? As an angel, as a cherubim. And until iniquity was found in him, and he became sin. He became sin unto God, and God could not live with sin in heaven. So God has to throw him out from the throne because he carried the nature of sin. Oh, paratush is the vredishta. That is why it pains my heart when an unbeliever tells me he's a sinner. It pains my heart when an un- when a believer born again goes to God and say, I am a sinner. Oh, come on. I pray Holy Ghost help me. I don't go there because I am dealing with Zoe. I am dealing with Zoe. Let's go. I am dealing with Zoe. I am dealing with Zoe. Zoe is the God kind life. Zoe is the life of God. Do you know what it means by the life of God? Let's go deeper. What is means by the life of God is the totality being of God. It is actually who God is. It is the life of God is not a part of God. The life of God is not a part of God. The life of God is the totality of God. That means when we say the life of a plant, the life of a plant, okay, Apostle Justice is a science teacher, so you help us here. When we say the life of a plant, it talks about everything about the plant. It talks about its roots, it talks about its stem, it talks about its leaves, it talks about it's everything about the plant, the totality, the glory of it. So the Bible says, Jesus said that as the Father had life, the Father is life in himself. In fact, God is life. God himself is life. Not that he has life, he is life. Not that God has life, he is life. That is why wherever God shows himself, he produces life. In creation, in Genesis, when he came and the earth was null and the earth was without form and the earth, darkness covered the face of the earth and the earth was dead, because God came into contact with earth, the earth began to receive life, because God himself is life. And that is what the Bible says, in him is life, and the life was the light of men. Now, Jesus, Iko Bradush Televida, do we want to know what eternal life is? If you want to know eternal life, then let's study the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus is the eternal life of Jesus. Why? Because I read to you that he said, as the Father had life in himself, so the Son had life. So if the Son had life in himself, then it means that Jesus on earth lived the God kind of life, the Zoe kind of life that you and I have received today. That is why you see the early apostles understood that kind of life. And then John, in 1 John, he writes to us that as he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. They come to a level where they know that they share in the very life that God shared on earth. And Jesus said, my purpose of coming is that I want to give you this life, that you have this life even more abundantly. What is this life we are talking about? This is the kind of life. Zoe is the kind of life. Is the kind of life that does not know death. Zoe is that kind of life which is dead. That is why the Bible says that when Lazarus was dead in the human realm, in the human aspect of life, not the Zoe aspect of life, in the human aspect of life, when somebody is dead, we go and we bury that particular person. But when Jesus showed up with his Zoe kind of life, he told them that there is a kind of life that transcends above the human life. And in the life that I have, in the realm where I come from, and the life that I possess from my Father, we don't know anything like death, but we know that people just only sleep and we can wake them up at any point in time. This is the kind of life that when you begin to show that life and live that life, you destroy the laws of nature. You destroy the laws of science. The laws of the earth cannot hold that life. The earth, the laws of gravity, the laws of whatever that science has named for us, those laws are destroyed when eternal life shows up. Why? Jesus, we know that liquid is something we cannot walk on. If it wasn't for Jesus, I never knew that there is a kind of life that lives above water, that can walk above on water. I can't Kalu Ibradusta. He came to show, listen, one of the reasons that why Jesus came on earth is to show how men should live, is to show us that the life we are going to have, the life that we have right now, that we were going to have when he had died and resurrected, that life, he came to live it on earth, that you and I one day will begin to live that kind of life. It is that kind of life that doesn't know that there is a sea and that when I walk on the sea, I will sink. No, that life doesn't know anything about nature. And the Bible says that when this man had prayed and he came to an hour where all the boats had left and there was no boat for him, the Bible says that he knew that there is a kind of life that transcends above nature, that transcends above the things of this earth. And the Bible says that he started walking on the water. He started walking on the water. And the Bible says that when the disciples saw him, they knew and they said that this is a ghost. Yes, they were right, because a human being in their life cannot walk on that unless that particular person comes from a different realm. No wonder Jesus said that he that is above, he that is above, he that is from above is above all. He was telling us that I proceed from the Father. I come from above and I am above all. I come from above and I'm above nature. I come from above and I'm above the things of the realms of life. Tanto braniste, li pradusta, eternal life. Is that life, when demons see that kind of life, they scream. The Bible says that when Jesus had crossed the river and came onto a place and saw the man that had demons in him, immediately Jesus approached. The Bible says that the demons started begging. The demons started screaming. Beloved, when you have eternal life, the very life of God, you take over territories. Your presence alone needs to emanate life. It needs to radiate a kind of life that is energy. And demons will need to testify of that life. Oh, kradoshe, paradiste, lasu imbranushta. That is a kind of life that we never heard that Jesus was sick. Is a kind of life that lives above sickness. Is a kind of life that lives above diseases. Is God, no. Okay. Let's ask ourselves this question. Is God ever depressed? Now I want to give me your candid answers. Does God ever go through depression? Yes or no? Your answer. No. Okay. Does God have sicknesses? Does God get sick? No. Okay. Does God die? Okay. Is God defeated? Okay. Does God ever know failure? No. Okay. Then, what kind of nature did God give to us? Look, beloved, the summit says that ye are gods. He was not afraid to say it because that is the reality. Ye are gods. The children of the Most High. If God never felt sick, if God doesn't have headaches, if God doesn't have diseases, if God doesn't have heart failure, if God doesn't have any kind of, you know, diseases that you're naming, then why should you have it? It is because sometimes you think you are a human being. Sometimes you think you are a human being. When Christians begin to think they are human beings, they lose. You are not a human being. You are a spirit being, just as God is. The Bible says that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. You are born out of the word, and the word is spirit and life. That means that Jesus, who was a life-giving spirit, that same spirit dwelleth in you. Listen, beloved, we are not preaching in a way to tell you fantasies, right? Yeah, let me put it. We are not here to preach to make you feel good, but we are here to tell you the reality of what you are losing, the real you of what you are losing. And when we begin to preach like this, it is not because no, I don't know how to put it, but this is something that is you, and we are presenting it to you. You don't tell a mirror the way you look. It is a mirror that tells you how you look. The word of God is a mirror. So when you look into a mirror, you don't tell the mirror how you look and how you think you should look. It is the mirror that tells you who you are. So if you think you are dressed nicely and you stand in the mirror and the mirror tells you that there is something wrong with your eye, you believe what you see from the mirror more than what you think. So if the word of God is a mirror, according to Corinthians, then it means that when we look into the word of God shows us who we really are, not what we think we are. So the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, I am the reality. I am the reality. I am the reality, the truth, and the life. No one. So, what is... Let me go on the Zoe. What is this Zoe? Zoe is the very nature of God. Zoe is the very life of God. Zoe is the totality of God in humanity. Zoe is a higher life that transcends beyond the human or the bios or the suke life. It is a life of victory. It is a life where miracles flow from. It is a life where we live above sickness and death. It is a life where we become life givers. It is a life where we do not perish. It is a life that is not corruptible. It is the very life of God. That is the way. And Jesus said, I have come to give you the Zoe. I have come. Look, eternal life is not given to us when we go to heaven. Eternal life is given to us as we receive Jesus as our Lord and our personal Savior. Because without that life, you cannot have a koinonia with God. Because God cannot associate with dead. God has to associate with the life that is equally as his life. Like things fellowship with like things. In the law of creation, things produce after their kind. When you read the book of Genesis, look at how God created. He says, and they produced after their own kind. So in the law of creation, we produce after our own kind. God cannot produce a kind that is not like him. And that is why I started by saying that the reason why Satan hates you is that everything that Satan wanted to be like God, to ascend and fellowship equally with God, he never had that. But man, and always I say that, you see, one thing, it marvels the angels of God that God could descend in a man. Oh, Pranishti. Apostle Justice, in fact, I really don't know how to even explain this kind of Zoe kind of life. Look, this evening, do this assignment. Sit down in your closet and begin to meditate and begin to let your spirit talk to you and let your spirit tell you that I have the life of God in me. I have the life of God in me. I have the life of God in me. I have the higher life in me. I have a life that transcends above demons. I have a life that transcends above sicknesses. I have a life that transcends above death. I have a life. Kalubranish de Libanas. Itombre di Banoshte. Ikobradushte. Apostle Justice, maybe some few minutes, I will just have to end. Please, how many minutes do I have so that I can be in line? The life of God, or the higher life, is where the life of God flows. The life of God flows. The life of God flows. That is where God's life of the miraculous flows. God's life of healing flows. God's life of love flows. Why? Because the life of God talks about the nature of God. Please listen. The life of God is the nature of God. One day, Apostle, I pray that God will give us the opportunity, okay, so that we can share on the concept of sin, how devil was able to give his nature to man, and man flowed in the nature of sin, and man became sin unto God, and man died, you know, to God. And then what actually God has brought that life for us, and what that life's way can do for us, how sin was able to devastate man and brought man to a lower rank of life. And now we have the law of the spirit of life that frees man from the law of sin and death. And then maybe we can get a good picture about this way. It's because of time, that is why I cannot go into the concept of sin. And you know, the nature, sin is of the Bible says that sin is of the devil. It's his nature. It's the nature of the devil to produce death. So that we don't become alive to the things of God. But thanks be to God. Now his spirit has quickened us and we are alive. Why are we alive? Because we share in the life of God. Because just as the Father had life in himself and he gave unto the Son, so has the Son given unto us. And the Bible says, he who that hath the Son hath life. If you have the Son, you have this eternal life. Eternal life is not a life you are going to have after rapture or after resurrection. Eternal life is present to you now as you are born again. Because without eternal life, you cannot be alive to God. Without eternal life, you cannot have economia with God. Because like things, fellowship with like things. Glory be to God in the highest. That is the kind of life that I said. Look, the life, the eternal life of God, is not just only residing in us, and we are like happy we have eternal life, but that life carries power. Carries energy to the extent that Jesus shows himself up and that life radiates, and demons will scream upon seeing that life. That is the life that defiles the laws of nature. That is the life that can speak to nature, because that life is from above. And whoever is from above is above all. He says, he that is from above is above all. So if that life was in the Father, and we know that the Father is in heaven on the throne, the Father liveth in us at the same time. If that life proceeds out from the Father, then it means that life is from above. And one who is from above is above all, above nature, above the laws of science. So my question is, didn't Jesus know that we have virus and we have fungi and we have virus, we have fungi, we have name all the things that science will tell us. So didn't Jesus know that, you know, diseases, they will tell us it is caused by germs and other things, and he knows that diseases are caused by demons, and Jesus, upon healing each and every person, he will cast out a demon out. And that is why I tell you, you cannot live in the soke kind of life, the soulish, and that is the realm where science operates. According to the feelings, according to their senses. But we are not supposed to live like that. We are not moved by what we see. He says we are moved. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by the word of God. Whatever the word of God has said about that is true. And we are living in accordance with the word of God. It is not what science has told us. It is not what biology has told us. It is not what a lower kind of life has told us. But we are living a higher life that is consistent with God. Can I touch on my last thing? Jesus, in eternal life, knew that he could speak to a tree, and the tree would listen. And he says that no man shall eat fruit thereof. Jesus never said, "I curse you, tree." No, he said, "No man." He spoke word. And you know what? Because everything that comes from him is life. And he said, "No man," so that no man shall eat of the fruit. That it became life to the tree, and the only thing the tree has to respond to it is by dying. So Jesus could speak to nature. Why do you have to allow witches and wizards and the occult to operate and use the moon and the stars against your life, and the earth against your life? Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Come on, come on, come on. They don't even operate in that higher life. But you know what? They use creation. They use creation even against sons of God. That is why the Bible says in the book of Romans 8 that all creation waits for the earnest manifestation of what? Of the sons of God. And to reach that level of attaining full life of God, attaining the full stature of Christ, creation will forever be in bondage. Why? Because we cannot speak to creation. There is a life in us that creation needs to obey. Oh, if Jesus could speak to the storm, and Jesus was trying to tell us this storm got ears to listen, be calm, and the storm was calm. If Jesus could command the fish, oh my God, look. You see, hey, this Zoe life lives above the natural life. So simple that, you see, he doesn't obey the things of nature. Tells Peter, "Go catch a fish. The first fish has coin in it, money in it. Use that to come and pay for." I mean, what kind of life? And Jesus told us that kind of life. He said, "As the Father had life in himself, so I have life in myself." In other words, what you see me do is the exhibition of the eternal life that I came on earth with. And this is the life that men should live. No wonder he says that you shall do greater things than these, because I go to the Father. You have the spirit of life within you. I want us to touch on something small about the Zoe. What is this Zoe life? What is this Zoe life? There are three things I just wrote about this Zoe so that, you know, so that I will not see all that, you know, my greater apostles and prophets and teachers would take, you know, deeper dimensions than what I have taken this evening. Let's look at this Zoe. Is a life of koinonia. Zoe is a life of koinonia. It's a life of koinonia. Zoe is a life of koinonia. A life of koinonia. a life of koinonia. A life of koinonia. I'm just okay. Thank you. Thank you for typing that for me. Thank you very much. A life of koinonia. What is this koinonia? Koinonia in the Greek is a Greek word, and that means fellowship. Is a life of fellowship. Another word for fellowship is joint participation. Joint past. In other words, it is the life that we join. We are joined in partnership with God, that where God is not giving us a different kind of life. God is not giving us a lower life, other lower than the life of Zoe. It is the same life that God has, and we are partaking in that life. Another meaning of it is share with one, share the share which one has in anything, or you are sharing in it. No wonder the Bible says that we are divine partakers. We are partakers of his divine nature. Partakers, joint participation. That is why the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. Now, can we look at something from the book of, I want us to look at it from the book of John chapter number 15, verse 5. John chapter number 15, verse 5. Now, if you want to look at the word koinonia, you can find it in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And then, but I want to read on, thank you very much, AB. God bless you so much. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. That is where I want to end. Who is speaking here? Jesus, the one who has eternal life in himself. He said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. My question is the vine different from the branches? Are branches different from the vine? Where does the branch get its life from? The branch is so much attached to the vine. In other words, before a branch would grow, that particular branch needs to grow out from the vine. It means that the same kind of nutrient, the same kind of cells, the same kind of tissues that the vine has is what exactly the same cells and that same tissue that produces its branch. In other words, the branch is not different from the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. In other words, there is that joint koinonia, a fellowship, a participation of exactly who you are. If the vine has life, the branch equally has life. If the branch is healthy, if the vine is healthy, the branch equally is healthy. If the vine grows well, the branches also grow well. Glory be to God. So where lies that you have a lower life? Where lies that you have a lower life? It means that Christ is flowing through you. The life of Christ, the life of the vine, the life of the vine is flowing equally through the branches. The branch is not different from the vine. That is why the Bible says in the book of John, First John, he says that as he is, so are we in this world. As he is glorified, so are we glorified in this world. As he is an intercessor, as he is life, as he is resurrected, as he is, so are we in this world. That means eternal life is a life of koinonia, a life of joint participation, a life of partnership, a life of fellowship where you can never be separated from God. You fellowship with God because you have the very life of God. Look, there is no way, excuse my words, there is no way you could have a complete fellowship. A human being has a complete fellowship with an animal. No, you see, there are sometimes you cannot flow in your fellowship if that particular thing is not exactly as you are. So God, in his own wisdom, who wanted man to fellowship with him, needed to give man exactly his nature, needed to give man exactly his life, so that like things can fellowship with the like, so that you can flow with God. Jesus, the vine, never gets sick. The branch doesn't fall sick. If Jesus, the vine, doesn't die, then the branch doesn't die. If Jesus, the vine, is miraculous, then the branch is miraculous. If Jesus, the vine, is love, then the branch is also love. If Jesus, the vine, flows with healing, and the vine equally carries healing. As he is, so are we in this world. So one, Zoe is a life of koinonia, a fellowship. That is why, my brother, you cannot that is why you see Paul understood this and wrote in Romans. He says, what can separate us? What can separate? Nothing, no. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Is it tribulations? Is it hunger? Is it, what at all can separate us from this life that we share with God? Now, another thing I want us to look at, because my time is getting, you know, to an end, is that it's a life of immortality. Zoe is a life of immortality. The Bible says that in the book of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that is why he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, that have what? Everlasting life. It means that this everlasting life, which is the life of God, does not perish. It is an immortal life. And I will explain that. What is the meaning of immortal? From the Greek word, immortal means indestructibility. It cannot be destroyed. Incorruptibility. It cannot be corruptible. It is imperishable. It cannot perish. Apostle, today I'm saying this. Now, yesterday when I was meditating upon this scripture, the Spirit of the Lord told me that do we know that the eternal life of God that we have does not permit us to die, and that we cannot die? That the eternal life of God we have, we cannot die. And I was telling the Holy Spirit that, Holy Spirit, but no, wait a minute. But I know someday when, you know, I'm full of age and I want to give up my spirit, I will give up. Then he asked me, who are you? Are you a fleshly being or you are a spirit being? Then I said, I am a spirit being. Then he said, then you as a spirit being, because the eternal life is infused in your spirit, your body only dies, but you never die. Oh, glory. Glory. Then that means what Jesus said is true. That if you believe in me, you will not die. Even though you were dead, you will still be alive. That means, no wonder, look, no wonder, Apostle, you see, we share the very life of. So I ask myself, what kind of life are you going to live in heaven? It is the eternal life you are taking to heaven. The eternal life you have here is the same life you are taking to heaven, because you are going to live in eternity. So you need a life of eternity, and that life of eternity is made available to you here. So if you say you would die, then what kind of death are you going to die that you have another life again? No, it means that that life you have here on earth is the very life that you're going to eternity with. So it means your body only, that is why the Bible says that though the outward man perishes, though the outward man perishes, the outward man, our flesh will perish. It will continue to perish. It will move down. It will slow down. It will get old. It will wrinkle. But our spirit man, our inner man is renewed day by day. Why? Because in our inner man, we are infused with a kind of life that does not permit us to die. It is infused with a kind of life that is of God. That is why we are alive to God. So one thing the Holy Spirit tells me, which I am convinced of, is that I am not going to die. It is only my body that will be buried some other time, because I am not a human being. I am a spirit being. I am not a humorous being. I am not a humorous being made up from dust. I am not made of dust. I am a life-giving spirit, because Jesus is a life-giving spirit. As he is, so am I in this world. Glory be to God in the highest. Oh, it is a life of immortality. That is what the Bible says that unto him. And that is what the Bible says that. The Bible says that a king, immortal, invisible, the only wise. He says what? He says what? Now unto our king, immortal. God is immortal. So the life he has given to us is a life of immortality. That is why Jesus couldn't die. Christ couldn't die. Christ only gave up to the ghost. So where was he? He went to hell to overturn the tables of hell and came back into his body. He came back because the life he had, death could not hold him captive, because death not supersede eternal life. So Jesus, the Bible says that he breathed, he gave up the ghost. What is it? The real Christ went out of the body Jesus. And that is how I am going to die. My body is going to remain here. But the reality, because I'm not a flesh. I'm not a human being. I am a spirit being. Spirits, we don't die. So I have eternal life. So what God is saying, that whoever so believe shall not die, but have eternal life. It was true. It was only yesterday I got to know this revelation from the Holy Ghost when I was meditating on this, that he did. He said, do you know you will not die? So that is why Paul says that, you see, when the trumpet sounds, all those mortality, we put on our immortality. There is an immortality in us within a twinkling of an eye. That body is lost and the immortality is on. So why? So, Apostle, I tell Christians that live your life from within. Live your life from within, not from outside in. Don't live your life from the outside. Live your life from the inside, because you are a life-giving spirit. So live your life from your spirit, from where life is, and that is your spirit being. And man is a spirit. Man is a spirit being who has a soul and lives in the body. We are not flesh. We are not humorous being. That is why you see Jesus. What Jesus is addressing, he doesn't say human beings. He addresses men. Men ought to pray always. Not human beings ought to pray always. He says men, the spirit people, the spirit led. They are the ones who pray. He says man shall not live by bread alone. Human beings will live by bread, but a certain man of the spirit will not live on bread alone, but he lives on the word of God. That is Jesus' definition of man. Now, what is the meaning? If immortality means indestructible, then it means you can never be destroyed. Sicknesses cannot destroy you. Problems cannot destroy you. Depression cannot destroy you. Oh, Apostle, it pains my heart when I see men who would say they want to commit suicide. They don't know the kind of life they have. The life they have surpasses. Jesus said, I am not of the world. I am not from the world. I am not from this. I've taken you also out. We are not of the world, because the kind of life we have, the world cannot contain it. So why should depression? Why should depression? Why should worry? Why should things of this physical nature cause men who have control and who are immortal to let things that are mortal take their mortality? It is wrong. It is an error. You are indestructible. You can never be destroyed by failure. You can never be destroyed by sin. You can never be destroyed by the devil. You can never be destroyed by anything. Why? Because the life you carry is a life of immortality. And my third thing that I leave is that the Zoe is a nature of God. Zoe is a nature of God. Zoe is a nature of God. I want to touch on this. Now, you see, all that I've said about Zoe here is looking at the power of God, right? How powerful God is and his life that he has given to you. So you live in a realm of what? Power. You get it. Now, Apostle, so last time, yesterday when I was meditating on this same scripture, and the Holy Spirit of God, I was like, I cannot fall sick. And he tells me, yes, you cannot fall sick. Then I was like, Holy Ghost, you know, sometimes I whispered to the Holy Ghost, I'm the Holy Ghost, macho, I had to be a mitenya, headaches, bikakra kakra, and I am a yemuso, et I am a yakakra, and no. I didn't know their own friend who said your sickness. I told him, so I had a tie at the medical hospital. And then, I can force it. He asked me another question. Are you a spirit being or you are a human being? He said, sickness only wants, cannot attack your spirit, or they only attack your body. And you are a spirit. The reality is that you are a spirit who lives in a body. So your body will only feel, but your spirit, which is a life-giving spirit, has to give life to your mortal body. So when a sickness attacks your body, the sickness has not attacked you. It is only the house you are living in that the sickness has attacked. So it is not you who are sick. It's your body that the sickness has attacked. So get up and cast that thing out of the body you are living in. Oh, glory. That is why, even when we feel headaches, we will tell ourselves, we are not sick. We don't have headaches, because my spirit cannot have headaches. It is only the body that can feel. And the life that God has given to me, when we speak, healing comes. Because why? The life of God, the healing flows through the life of God. Didn't we read that when people could touch Jesus, they could get healed? Why? Because his whole body carried healing. His whole body carried the virtue of healing, that when people began touching him, they get healed. If your whole body is wired with healing, because you are flowing with the life of healing, then how can your body fall sick? We need to reach that level, that realm. We need to reach that realm. We need to reach that realm that when we take in fluid and they say there are virus in the fluid, the life we carry will put all the virus to death. Just as the rod of Moses swallowed the serpent of that of, you know, the Egyptians of the Egyptians, you know, serpent. So anytime we touch, you know, fluid, we touch virus, the life in us should be able to overcome that life that the virus carries, in the name of Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that through this word, as I minister, anyone who is sick in any part of the body, in the name of Jesus, just as the Bible says that our temple, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I remember the other time Jesus went into the temple of God, and the Bible says that he saw that people were trading, people were given, and they were trading in the temple. They were not supposed to be there. Sickness is not supposed to be in the temple. So in the mighty name of Jesus, your body is the temple of God. Just as Jesus drove away all the money changers and all the thieves and all the other things outside of the, out from the temple, so do I stand in the name of Jesus, and I drive every sickness out of the temple of God. I drive every disease out of the temple of God. Receive your healing right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Anything that is tormenting your body, it doesn't have that right, because the life that you carry is the life of God. I speak life into your spirit right now, and then I pray that your spirit re-energizes and produces life that will put that sickness, that will put that disease to death right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Also, I will touch on the nature of God. The nature of God is the totality of God. You know, one time, I want to end because I have just only 55 and then we end it. Okay, chapter number 3, verse 18 up to 20. You see that Moses talks about seeing the glory of God. The glory of God, and the glory of God here is the totality of God. And you know, when God showed Moses his glory, he showed him of his nature. He showed him as a merciful God, as a gracious God, and all that. So it means that if you have the very life of God, you have the nature of God, the compassion of God, the glory, the graciousness of God, the mercies of God. No wonder Jesus Christ carried alubra ustelepida. Yo sobraskine venishandi vrando stom reniste ikoze vredishta liata. In the name of Jesus. He says that good. He says that, and okay. So when you read, and then you can continue from verse, you know, when you read 34. Chapter 34, verse 6, then you begin to see, Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, then you begin to see the nature of God. So what I want to say here is that when Jesus came, he showed a nature, a character of God. The Bible says that people, lepers walked to him, and he said, oh, I love this prayer of the leper. He said, if that willeth, that can make me whole. And the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. That is the nature of God. He said that when the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. That is the nature, the very nature, another nature of God, and that is the life of God, Zoe. So whenever you have the life of God, you begin to have the character, the nature of God in you. It is not just only about the power, but you are able to have the nature of God where you can live with men. So you become compassionate just as God is compassionate. You become merciful just as God is merciful. That is why Jesus said, blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You become gracious just as God is gracious. You become, you know, abundant in goodness and in just as God. So you begin to carry on the nature of God. That is why you see sometimes when you see people who are sick, you are worried. When you see people who are in need, you are worried. Why? Because that compassion nature of God is imparted in your spirit, because you have accepted Jesus and that nature is in you. It is my prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit of God would enlighten us and move us from that realm of, you know, bios, from that life of Zuke to the life of Zoe. And as we have attained Zoe, God will help us so that we would maximize the full potential of the eternal life of God in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray with our thanksgiving. Thank you very much, Apostle. You can please take over.
Wow. Amen and amen. Wow. Beloved, this has been a very amazing time in the presence of God. And in just 1 minute, I want you to pray and bless the speaker for tonight. Bless the man of God. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. Such a great exposition on the word of God. In fact, I have learned a lot. Just pray. Labazon daraba. Ayavramate isa davadu kabaha davala davanai. Elige devine lemelega davana devine devadavada. Proclaim the blessings of Adonai upon him and the family in the name of Jesus and the work of his hands. Rayanda ilivinde lekia awatun ilind avinda isali wahalakiyavat. In the name of Jesus Christ. Beloved, God bless you for joining. And this is just day one. Even day one and the heat is like this. I don't think you will miss the rest of the days. Hallelujah. Make time. Later on, I will upload it. ear so that make time and listen to the message over and over again. Just listen, 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 listen. Hallelujah. He said that the first Adam was a living soul. The first Adam was a living soul. So it means that the first Adam was a natural man, but the second Adam is a spiritual man. And we are of the second Adam. God bless you mightily. Tomorrow same time, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. GMT, we will be meeting for another time in the spirit with another man of God. Hallelujah. Please don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. God bless you all for joining. Thank you in Jesus' name. God bless you. But man of God, God bless you so much. Wow. Thank you. We have now come to know that there is the Bios life, Suke life, and there is the Zoe. And this is day one. Beloved, thank you so much. Bye. Zindelevrinika bashanda ragadaba. Zelebranda rakayande. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Bye.